This is where I turned down, but the music got super rocky. That was fun. We're dancing in the studio right now. I am so excited to start the Aging Well Together show. I'm playing with the sound, even though we're now just, I want to keep dancing, but okay, let's get started. We have a fantastic show today. I like to think we always have fantastic shows, but today we're going to be talking all about the wonderful supports for those living with dementia and brain change and those loving someone with dementia. We have the fabulous and world famous Tipa Snow from the Snow Approach Foundation and her equally fabulous colleague and daughter, Amanda Bulgarelli. We had her husband on a few weeks ago, and I've been practicing the last name because I've been mispronouncing your last name for years, Amanda.
It's okay.
Okay, well.
You have it, Heather.
I know,
you've
right?
You got it.
Bulgarelli, yeah. All right, I'm excited for all we'll learn together, but before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the tremendously helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Hello, friends over at the Department on Aging, if you're listening. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3 or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. Or you can listen to any of our previous shows, also known as our podcasts, we're very hip, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. Again, orangecountync.gov/aging. And I haven't given a love note to Marilyn Hole for a while. I mispronounced her last name too. Marilyn does all of the updating of our podcasts and put them on the website. And we're smiling because we're also taking pictures in here. My eyes may have been closed while I was talking. We're multitasking here at the Aging Well Together show. Good thing we've got an expert on brain change to tell us if that's good or bad for growing our brains. Yeah. Okay, on the website, you can find our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the show, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, and people have been doing that, and we are now booked through October almost. Ooh. So, yeah, I know. So, folks, but keep sending us ideas. We have no plan on stopping the Aging Well Together show, so the more the merrier. And so for those suggestions, you either can call the Department on Aging, or for any resources, you can call the Department on Aging, and their great number is, well, number for great people is 919-968-2070. Or feel free to email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. All one long word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And I've been getting emails, so apparently I'm not saying that too fast. That's kind of fun. As always, a shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening, and you'll hear a lot more at the end. And Robert Bradford Quartet, if you're listening, I've already been suggesting you as a wonderful band to play for the Snow Approach, who we're going to talk about, and they're just such a great band, and I know they like to support local nonprofits with their music, so reach out to me if you want me to reach out to them for you. My fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, I think she's listening. She was going to join us today, but we didn't think we had enough microphones. But we do. Alicia, if you're out in your car in the parking lot, come join us. And we're excited to be with Alicia hopefully soon. And you'll hear her at 3 o'clock with Afternoon Talk with Alicia. And Alicia is one of the amazing, extraordinary, incomparable wellness instructors over at the Orange County Department on Aging. All right, I am almost done talking. For me, I am Heather Altman. I am your host. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. And once again, I will complain about how hot it is in the studio. I'm a middle-aged woman. I need more air conditioning, WCOM. Kiss, kiss. All right, I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. Okay, let's get into it. For our great guest this week, I am so excited that my old friends Amanda Bulgarelli and Tipa Snow, founders of the Snow Approach Foundation in Hillsborough, North Carolina, they are here with us. And this is a fun companion show for our loyal listeners. Our recent show was with Amanda and Tipa's teammate and Amanda's husband, Dan Bulgarelli. He was here, and Nathan Maris, if I said that right. They are also part of the Snow Approach Foundation team, and so it was wonderful to have them a few weeks ago. There was so much more to talk about that we needed to bring the big guns in, but now there's two other teammates, Noah and Unique. If you're listening, you're up next, fellas. You're going to come on the show. So anyway, welcome to Amanda and Tipa. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show.
Oh, yay. Heather, yay.
Thank you.
It's great to be with you again. It's always good to be with you.
I know. All right, and I'm going to have your beautiful faces as close to the microphones.
Okay.
There we go. All right,
you like that better.
I do. I don't want anyone to miss a word of wisdom. So what we do here on the show, before we get into the meat of our topic, though this is kind of connected, love to know a little bit of background about each of you, where you're from, what brought you into the aging, what made you fall in love with the brain. I kind of know what made you fall in love with each other, I have a sense, but who wants to go first here?
Age before beauty.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you go. No.
Wait a second. Darn.
This is our first mother-daughter. My dad was on it, so we've had a father-daughter pair, but we've not had a mother-daughter.
Oh.
I'm so happy. Okay, go,
Tipa. Okay, so I don't need to worry about that heat index anymore. I'm long past it. I'm up at 70. So I just turned 70, so I am.
Happy birthday, Mazel Tov.
Thank you, thank you. That was in May. You know, in May,
literally still in May.
Well,
it was just your birthday.
Well,
I missed
long.
It.
Not long, yeah. So I'm now in the 70 plus group.
Excellent.
So, background wise, I am originally from West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear it in my voice. Anytime I do dementia work, it comes back out. And you'll find it comes out a lot more when I'm role playing because
I've heard it all the time. I thought you were just connecting with your southern audience members. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, there's a background there that's a little deeper. Yeah, no.
It's West like Virginia. If I yell, I get all like New York.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
my mother's
do,
voice.
Actually.
Okay. What are you talking about? All right, go on. All right, let's get West Virginia. I can't even do that accent.
West Virginia. And so then I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as a kid, and then came down to Duke to do an undergraduate. And managed a degree in zoology after five different majors.
I forgot that. It's been over 20 years since I've been watching you talk, but I forgot the zoology. Tell us about this.
Well, that was my mother said, you've got one more semester. Either you graduate or you pay for the next semester.
Okay.
And so I graduated, but it meant I had to figure out, I had had four different majors. And so I had to add up where I could possibly take five classes and finish.
Yes.
And so I ended up finishing with a degree in zoology because I had enough credit elsewhere.
You're the second of people that I consider incredibly brilliant that were zoology undergrads. There's something about the study of animals that make you extra brilliant about the human animal.
Except not very smart about planning. Sort of lots of different background, though, which is cool. So then it was like, well, what can you do with an undergraduate in zoology? Well, you could do pre-med. And so I actually considered pre-med.
Oh, I was thinking you could work at a zoo.
You could clean cages, which I actually did as a work-study student. But instead, what I ended up doing is going, I didn't actually want to do med after I did some work. I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
And so I took a year off, and I was a desk clerk nights at the Carolina Inn in Chapel Hill.
Oh.
Bill Friday used to come by and buy cigars.
Fascinating.
Yep.
This is good. Go on.
Okay. So this is way a long time ago. And during my days off, I had Tuesday and Wednesday off, and nobody was doing much. So I was working at a day center in Hills, in Durham, North Carolina, with people who had dementia and kids who had developmental disabilities in the basement of a church.
How did that happen? You just saw a posting, or?
Well, I was looking for an opportunity to do something, volunteer, something that made a difference, because I was doing desk clerk work.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
My background was working with kids with disabilities.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
There you go.
All right.
And so then an occupational therapist came and was working with one of the young women I spent time with, and she said, you should go into OT school. And they were opening the program at UNC Chapel Hill, the master's program. And so I was in the very first class, and I was the first to graduate.
No way!
Yeah, 1980.
I love that OT program at UNC. I have been following it for years. I love working with their students and their professors. Okay, so then you start becoming an OT.
So I start becoming an OT, and I worked in South Carolina. I've worked in Virginia. I did home care. I worked, and then the opportunity to be at the Program on Aging at the School of Medicine opened up, and I became part of an interdisciplinary team there, nursing, social work, and myself, and medical providers. And then after that, I worked with AHEC and...
Well, you have to say what AHEC is.
Area Health Education Centers. Mm-hmm. And we did the Medicaid waiver program that allowed people who were aging to come out of facilities and go back home with care if they qualified. And so we were going all over the state training and preparing people for those evaluation teams and then program development.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
And then time and head injury, and then time and stroke at Duke. So I worked at Duke, UNC's. I worked over at Wake Med.
Okay.
Home care, hospice.
There's been all kinds.
Yeah.
And then...
And then I...
And then I know there's more, because we haven't even gotten into the work where we met.
No. So then actually...
a little bit. The Program on Aging.
We met there. I would do continuing ed there. So I was doing a lot of education. I worked for a variety of folks after that. And then I worked with the Alzheimer's Association, Eastern North Carolina chapter. And I taught it at... Durham Tech and started the OTA program there and worked there for 9 years. And then after that, started doing national and international speaking. And we did Accepting the Challenge, the first video that was nationally recognized and received awards, the Freddie Award.
What's the challenge that you accepted?
To give the best quality care for people living with dementia.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was dementia care. And it was a video that became an international hit. And was one of the very few available and actually had people living with dementia working with us in the video.
Okay. So can people still see it?
They can, and we're actually updating it. We're working with Dementia Alliance of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We are updating, and it's going to be available for free to families online.
Oh, nice.
And professionals will be able to view it and receive continuing ed credit.
Okay. All right. Well, then there's
it's one of our projects.
Yeah, we're going to get all up into your business. We're going to get all into the projects. But that's when we first met in 2003.
Yep.
Well, let me clarify. We did not meet. I was in the... I met you, but you didn't meet me, I doubt, because there was like a whole group of us getting trained. And so that's when I start the TIPA fan club. I'm not sure when you realized who I was. I think that was probably like 10 years later, five or six.
That was probably a few years later.
Yes.
Yeah,
and now I continue to be all up in your business. And now I'm like, TIPA,
we're in each other's business these days because we're both in the same business of taking care of people.
I know, which is a great business.
It is.
And then somewhere along the way, a bunch of years ago, I met Amanda.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, tell us your journey and how, and Dan had fun telling the journey also, but tell us how you somehow went from like coming from your mom, living with your mom, to working with your mom?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So people ask me a lot of the time, what was it like growing up with Tipa? Was it really, it was pretty typical.
You don't know the alternative.
You know what? She did not just randomly take my belts off. It wasn't something that happened. She didn't randomly do anything at all, actually. She was just sort of present and a mom.
Yeah.
And I did get pulled into lots of different interesting situations. In fact, when I was 14, she said, I have this technique I want to try out with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure exactly, but I want to get some pictures because I've been doing it for a lot of years. It's called hand under hand.
I was going to guess. Is it the hand under hand? Yes.
It is. And so I came in from doing something outside and my dad took some pictures. And lo and behold, 4 years ago, we created a Gems tool.
Mm-hmm.
And what photos did I find on that Gems tool?
Of you at 14.
Me at 14 getting the first real pictures of Tipa doing this hand under hand thing that became one of our most important and valid skills. So I've been doing this a long time, and I went into education prior to working with Positive Approach to Care. I was teaching 4th and 5th grade. I taught in North Carolina. I taught in New York in a few different schools. And then I went to Detroit, where it was a little bit rough on year number 9 of teaching. And I decided, you know what? I'm open to a change. And she happened to have started our certification courses.
Mm-hmm.
So I took our coach course as the very first course that I took. And I thought that, wow, this is really cool teaching. And also, is there a process or a manual for this? Because this is kind of a skill. And so at that point, I then took, I decided, okay, I can go mentor courses. Let me see what that looks like.
Okay.
So I did four courses back to back. I took 25 learners to mentor through our process. And we very quickly realized, I very quickly realized that, wow, she had been doing a ton of stuff on her own.
Yes.
And that this could probably use a little bit of organization and support if we really want to make impact.
Yes, your education, teacher, curriculum brain
it
put
fired
to work.
Up all cylinders. And so at that point,
that was while we were out in Washington State and up in British Columbia,
I
by the way.
I literally was in the back of the van typing on my laptop, like, I need to get this doing more, different, better. We can do this. And I came at the second or third cert of 4 in a row, and I said, okay, what do you think? Here's our company organization. Here's the curriculum.
So you didn't pitch for a job. You pitched for a, like, why don't
we're going to start. We're going to do a whole company. It's like,
nice.
Okay. And, you know, we don't just have 2 certs, there's more. And it's like, okay.
And by certs, you mean certifications, which we will get into. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And your Dan shared, and Nathan, both when they were here, they're both educators or will continue to be educators, but came through the education track as well.
Right.
And so it made sense. And then, so you joined, and then somehow you brought your husband in too, and it just became a family affair, and your sister.
Abby. Really, our whole family, my brother even is.
He does videos. He used to be, if you need a car repaired, let me know. If you need furniture built, I'm all about it. Keep me out of it. But then he started doing our video editing, and he found his spot. So he does a lot of our video
editing. I need to meet him. I've met the husband and Tipa's husband, Dick, and then I've met...
He does depositing checks.
And he's also really skilled artist.
Yeah.
How
true.
Glass artist. I almost said potter, but no.
And metal.
Glass
iron.
And metal.
Iron forging. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of creativity and education, as well as your children.
They are on a Sunday program every Sunday morning at Nana's, unless they're with us. But
yes, and listeners, these children are child actors. How old are they?
5 and 7.
Five and seven.
They are.
But they started at 1 and 3.
That's right.
And they do a really great job demonstrating. All right. So you start this company.
I think they're mostly kids. I thought I had a role in that, but maybe not. Maybe it's just them.
They're just fabulous. They're really good. But they also do really nice sort of demonstrating how to approach, have good conversations, how to approach. I know with my daughters, I have two, mm-hmm. well, they're not younger anymore. They're almost 19 and 22, but they grew up at Carol Woods with me. Yep. And they would come in and I would prep them. They would just say, hi, you know, and my daughter would prep, hi, I'm Sydney, I'm 7, I'm in the first grade, you know, because that's what everyone, what's your name, how yep. old are you, and, you know,
what grade are you in?
What they didn't learn, what you've taught your children, is how to ask a thoughtful question back.
You got
how to respond in that engaging, opening way.
Yeah.
Classic, my daughters just taught them how to talk, not to actually converse.
But
classic.
You've gotten so good at those questions, Heather.
I know. Well, okay. So now the two of you, you and the whole family, add more Yiddish, the whole mishpucha, this family, Yiddish for family, comes together. Yeah. Tell us about, in whichever order makes sense, because it's really two companies. I talked about your newest and local, the snow approach, but does it make sense to start with positive approach to care?
Well, it did start with positive approach to care. And so we're a consulting, training, educating company that works nationally and internationally. So we have programs that we deliver in Australia, in UK, Poland. We've gone.
You were just in Malaysia.
We were in Malaysia, yeah. And next year is New Zealand and Chile, among other places. So our goal is to raise awareness, build knowledge, and then develop skill so that people living with dementia get the right support at the right time. And so positive approach to care works on skill development of individuals, knowledge development of families, awareness development of the general public. But then we really focus in on developing skill sets of people who can train, can coach, can consult, can lead engagement opportunities, could even like figure out how do you teach these skills to others, called our champion teachers. And work with providers all over the world. So we have designated communities that are mastering skills as part of what they do. Because, Heather, I know you know that there's actually no requirements of knowledge or skill to call yourself a dementia specialty program in the U.S.
I know. It is one of those interesting things. Just like for a while there, I don't want to say something wrong. Like, anyone could call themselves a social worker. Like, there was weird, a lot of people can use the term coach. Yep. There's a lot of terms, but to say, and I would start looking into it when people said they are a dementia specialist or they're a certified dementia expert. And you're like, well, who certified you or whatever? And there's lots of wonderful people doing wonderful things. But I met a few people and I was like, what? Or who certified? So anyway. Where do you come off, as my mother would say? Where do you come off saying that?
Yeah, like if all you've done is watch a video.
Yes.
And now you can open a program, lock a door, and say that you have a special program.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll get into that more.
That's a bit of a challenge for me, which is why we do what we do, is that there needs to be more available to people so that they do the right thing by people living with dementia and don't blame the dementia and don't blame the person when we just simply do not have the abilities we need to do the care.
Hard. And it's for listeners, if for some reason you have not heard Tipa's name, she is in the field, in the business, everyone. And by the way, I was on a call yesterday. I was on a national call looking at caregiving issues around the nation, and it was connected through our government, the Administration for Community Living, and all this work with U.S. Aging, and they were talking about how can we do more caregiver support, and invariably this always happens, and someone chimes in, oh, we could get Tipa Snow involved and get her courses, and I'm sitting here thinking, I know her. I'm such a name dropper when it comes. I didn't actually say it then, but I was thinking, and I know. So in the business, when people are like, oh, I was trained with Tipa Snow, and it does go, interestingly, hand in hand, your name and positive approach to care. So it becomes sort of synonymous, but because a lot of people were trained by you before you had started positive approach to care. Right. And a lot of our local communities, other day, I texted with one of my colleagues at an assisted living place. We were talking about a mutual client, and he said, sorry, I'm in a Tipa Snow training, can't talk. So it's become a really big thing, both from an education as well as from a marketing from a lot of places, like, oh, all of our staff have gone through the positive approach to care training.
Mm-hmm. And when they really have and not just watched a video, we believe, yes. You know, there's power in watching
it's
a
tough.
Video.
It's tough. I've done good. One of your courses. I was telling someone, I'm like, this is not like a little course. You do it. There's a lot of homework. You have to make videos yourself. You have to do all kinds. I did hand under hand with my dad. Like, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. You earn that certificate.
That's right.
Well, because we believe people living with dementia deserve good care. And if you haven't learned how to do it, then blaming them because it doesn't work doesn't make sense to me.
My other observation, and I know you have like four levels and I'm still at the early ones, is it's not just about being a loving, thoughtful, compassionate, empathetic person.
I think, Heather,
person.
That is one of the
Yours
most
are
challenging.
Skills. And yeah. and I'm pointing at you, but I'm pointing at you both. And I think
two figures, Heather. It's like there's the exit doors.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating because you think, well, I'm a nice person and I'm comfortable talking with someone and I care a lot. What extra training do I need? And the training's hard, like in the sense that it's hard to break bad habits and also to, and I know with me, I'm a fast talker. I talk from all, you know, and to really appreciate what someone's going through and to practice
well,
the skills.
We say all the time, it is not common sense, although that is what people think it will be. You'll just know how. If you've ever had a mom, you'll be able to be the mom for your mom. No.
No.
It's not common sense, and it is not rocket science, and it is science, and there is a ton
of
science behind it.
So I need to talk about the children.
You need to talk about the children.
So suddenly, in the midst of a conversation that had nothing to do with what you two were talking about, I pipe up.
Yes, and just say something different.
And your brain might say, without thinking.
Yeah, what about the children? Or, Tipa, we're not talking about the children right
well,
now.
Well, I know. We were, too.
And now you were thinking that we were talking about the children.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, Heather, what was about to happen for you without thinking? When I said, we were going to talk about the children. That's what you said.
Yes. Okay. I don't know what was going to happen. I was either going to go with the flow, which my improv training I would have gone with, or I would have redirected it in a way that caused confusion or defensiveness or just added confusion. And then even the look and tone on my face would give you the cues. What are you talking about? What am I talking about?
Never mind. Never mind. I don't know. But I need to go now.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no. We just got here. And so people do things without thinking because that's what happens. We automatically react to what somebody says, and it either makes sense or it doesn't, or we're trying to be nice, or we're. And you can be nice and be ineffective.
Yes, and it's really listening and understanding what people are saying without having to understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
In the sense that, because people are sharing, but not getting so stuck on the details. Yeah. Like, what's going on with them?
Where did that lady go? I just saw her go by.
Yeah, you were worried about that lady. It's also being able to adapt the skill and recognize when I'm choosing to use that skill and when I'm adapting it to someone else. So, Tipa, the lady, are you worried about her?
She just disappeared. She was going. Here's a guy.
Oh.
Now he's going.
Oh.
So for our listeners, we will keep going in and out of the kind of experiences, but what our listeners don't know is, so we're in a room right now. Our station has all windows, and it's a great example of a complicated environment with someone, well, for all of us, because, hello, ADD, like, there's always people moving around. But also, as someone's experiencing brain change, if you want to have a conversation one direction, but there's so many other things going on, like, I want to talk about, literally, there's a blue bus passing by there, and it's beautiful.
And you control that impulse because the prefrontal cortex of your brain. Well, when you're on the radio show, I've been watching you do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But if I've always been able to do that, and now you're starting to notice I'm not doing that as well, your first inclination without thinking too much about it is to point out that I'm doing something that's sort of, Mom, why are you talking about that? Because we were having, and you try to fix it.
Yes, and then all of a sudden you get in this weird thing where now Amanda, if she said it to you, she's parenting you and making you feel bad. And also, I love all those, Mom, remember?
Oh.
I hear that all the time, and it breaks my mom. You know, from mom, don't you remember? You don't do that anymore. That and so.
Well, sure, I do. What are you talking about?
No, you don't.
I do too. I go to the hospital
when
every
Thursday.
When
was the last time? I mean, this was
well,
literally
because
what
Thursday.
I saw.
Thursday, I go.
And like no joke, a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. that was the situation I was in with a woman and her daughter.
Yeah.
And it escalated even more than what we just did, and yeah. And to see, it was heartbreaking for the woman who is going, the mom going through brain change. Yeah. It angered the daughter. Our really lovely conversation just went downhill because the two of them had to fight, and I don't want to out it, over a hobby and when was the last time they had done
right.
it. And it was like, what are we doing
What a
here?
Painful thing that doesn't need to happen with a little bit of awareness, some knowledge, but you have to have a little skill.
That's right. So how do you, so in terms of, because I want to get into positive approach to care, how you teach the skill, and that your audience, how many of them are professionals, people like me who are out in the field, or how many are people like me out in the world who are caregivers and families?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and it kind of leads to the why of Snow Approach Foundation. So, as Tipa said, we're a global company that does a lot of videos. We do a lot of courses online. We do a lot of come to us for a certification and then go back to your community. And people ask us a lot of the time, where can I see this in practice? Mm-hmm. Where can I see somebody who has these skills? And you can come and get trained with us. That's your certification. You can take our courses online. And getting feedback on your actual hands-on skill really happens in person. So we have about 2,000 to 3,000 certified community members. You went through our certification.
I went through it.
We have people out there who can do some of that feedback loop. And what we realized locally was we don't have our own place that we can say, yep, come right here, and you will see it in every interaction.
Your own learning lab, or what do you
our
call
own,
it?
That's a good name for it. It is the place and the foundation where you can see the Snow Approach in action.
And it's such a cool space. I went there. I mean, when I was trained 2 years ago now, we were at a hotel. You know, you had to rent out rooms.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
we did.
And so I always saw you come, or you would come into the place where I used to work. Mm-hmm. It's so neat to be in your place in Hillsborough.
You got it.
And you can tell, we'll tell our listeners how they can see it too. It's a great space, really kind of funky and welcoming. And having gone through it myself, it is painful, but you really do need to practice and have someone critique it. Mm-hmm. And that would happen to me. You'd practice something and you'd say, oh, well, and everyone critiques everyone. So it's a kind of all
learning together. I mean, that's the reality. And what I'd say is we have about 70% of people who come and work with us to learn are doing it for both a professional and a personal reason.
At the Snow Approach or at Positive Approach to Care, or both?
At both.
At both.
At both. Because this thing called dementia turns out to touch people in so many ways, in so many spaces. Even if it's not a family member, it's a friend. If it isn't a friend, it's a neighbor. If it isn't a neighbor, it's the lady you met at the grocery store or on a plane, which happened on my way to Sarasota, where you realize, oh, she has some brain changes and she needs some support right now. Do I have capacity? Well, people could want to help, which one of the airline people were trying to help, but it was making it significantly worse for both of them.
Were you able? Did you did you engage? My husband's mantra for me, whenever we go out, he goes, do not engage. One time there was a situation, he goes, all right, you can engage. But like, were you like, I got to do it. I got to do it.
Well, this was a young woman was in the aisle seat, and the couple was next to her, and she apparently went to the airline person and said, I can't do this. She's freaking me out. I can't do this. And so they said, is there anyone in another seat that would be willing to trade? Because there's a young woman who's in distress. And it was like,
so the young woman was in distress over the woman next to her with dementia.
You got it.
Oh, I want to have a whole show on this. I'm sorry. Wait. Oh, because
and so
the woman
she wanted to move because she was like, I can't deal with this on a flight.
Oh, okay. So did you trade with her?
I did.
And did you have a perfectly lovely flight?
It was a fine flight.
Oh,
I mean, it was work. I mean, it was work because the lady did have a lot of questions and she wanted to talk. And so that's the tricky part is like, if you don't have skill, you could think, oh my gosh.
And she wanted to talk to the stranger, not her husband, right?
Right. Husband has Parkinson's and was not able to respond.
Oh, this just gets better. And that's what happens in real life. We would see couples all the time. Yep. And it is sort of fascinating how one has more physical issues and one has more cognitive issues. And it's a little complicated. Okay, so then I also find, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not, so I might as well say it on the radio. When I see something...
I love how impulsive you are.
There we go.
But it was nice control almost.
I tried it. Well, here's why. Because I think it goes to my positive approach, mm-hmm. which is that of kindness and assuming the best intent. And so when I see something or someone do something that just seems mean or weird mm-hmm. or odd, and I don't want this to sound ageist, but if they are... over a certain age, I sort of say, I don't know what I'm seeing here. There may be brain change going on. And so we should all be giving each other some more grace and some more patience. And so I do, when we don't know, I don't assume, oh, well, that's just a mean, angry person. There was some bad stuff going around Instagram of like,
bullying.
And it was older adults being mean. Like, mm-hmm. why are you driving this car on? It was a little kid's. And I was like, that's dementia. If she's seeing a little kid in a toddler car saying this is not, it was clear to me I was seeing an older woman with dementia.
Yeah.
And whoever was filming her was trying to put it as just, and I just, it hurt for her because I was like, there's so many kinder ways to have approached that situation than just film her. So anyway. Yeah.
Young woman, I will say on the opposite side, I felt for the young woman who really was overwhelmed and didn't have any experience and wasn't sure what to do. Mm-hmm. And she just wanted out of the situation. And we see family members often getting to that place in a relationship where I don't know what to do anymore.
Yes.
I'm not sure what to do. I need out. I need something else to happen. And that's really hard to watch because at that point, the person living with dementia has come to believe that that family member is the only one they can trust, the only one they feel safe with, the only person. And that has happened over the course of a couple years.
Because of your training, I had this discussion with a husband in distress yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he's like, when do I get even more help for me and my wife? And I said, now. And here's why. And I said, because you're at a point to, and as you would say, I've heard, widen the circle of support now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also because he was already using words like burned out. Mm. I'm falling down. Just falling down emotionally. Others are falling down physically. But mm-hmm. that sense of that martyrdom that everyone feels like I should do it alone. And then all of a sudden they can. And then they come to you all and, I'm sure, because I know I literally found some old emails, and the subject line was family in crisis.
Yeah.
You probably get that all the time.
Well, and oftentimes we have folks who, when they come to us, as you said, he's already using words like burned out. When somebody says, when is it time to move? When is it time to bring in help? The true answer that we often joke about but is accurate is 3 months ago.
Yes.
It should have happened.
Yes.
If you're already asking, it means that you've let it get to a place where you're so far past what you can handle, mm-hmm. in air quotes.
Air quotes are happening here.
Because this idea of what someone, an individual, should take on versus what a team should take on is just such a mismatch in our current way of doing things.
It really is a team sport.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the amount of patience and grace and skill, and also separating yourself, which is really hard when it's just your own family member. Like, I'm so much more patient with other people, but then when it's my own family member, first of all, I'm 15 again.
You got it.
And they raise their voice, or if they do just a certain tone, even, anyone in my family.
A much bigger team than you would think. And a much more varied team than you would think. So you don't just need the caregiving team. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make is, well, I don't have anybody who could come into this house and get them to go in the shower. What about the friends?
Yes.
What about a 10-minute coffee chat? What about somebody who has a similar food like?
Mm-hmm.
What about somebody who would walk with them? What about somebody who likes them?
Yes.
We miss all of those pieces.
Fishing friends, the gardening friends, the church friends. So when people come to you, let's talk about some of the, we talked about positive approach to care, and so we talked about the education, and you have a number of certifications. Let's do it now. Let's just, because we'll do it a few times, let's throw out the website. If people want to learn about the consulting and educational resources, how do they get to positive approach to care? What's that website?
Well, it's a really easy one.
Yes.
If you know TEPA.
Yes.
It's www.TEPASnow.com.
Yes, which I have joked to you before, if you remember this, I told Dan, when I see it, I look at TEPA's now, you know, because that's what I think.
I like that.
Have I not told you that?
You have.
Because
no.
That's what I think of when people need to go to the website. I need TEPA's now, though. Yeah. It adds an S, so TEPA's now. Okay, so that's for your
that's for
education.
Our education company, and our goal this year, we are working on our tagline, because it's always been, until there's a cure, there's care, which is still true.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that dementia doesn't rob someone of their dignity, it's our approach that does.
Yes.
And this year, we're setting out on a venture to radically transform the experience of dementia.
Oh, I like that.
And it's really powerful.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I vote for that one.
That's where we're at, because we are frankly tired of what's being called care. And,
yes.
And it needs a radical transformation.
I've watched you all. Tell me if this is correct, just because we're starting to hang out more together. Is it that I'm, A, getting to know you better, or B, you're getting more feistier as the years go on? That was a nice way of saying frustrated with the business and really passionate about changing it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think you've always been passionate and dedicated, but the level of, like, come on.
Well, I've been around since the 1980s. And when I see us doing the things we did in the 1980s and calling it care, we realized in the 1990s we were harming people for convenience. And unfortunately, I see a return to habits and behaviors that are hearkening back to, well, it's the best we can do. And it's like, that's not true. We know better. We need to do better.
Why? And I was going to ask you some questions. Why is, well, is it, I mean, I think a lot
got
blamed
lots of
on
good
the
excuses.
Pandemic,
right.
Which is, you know, because then we had staffing shortages, staffing changes, and keeping people alive became precedent, became the most important, as opposed to keeping people living.
Yes.
I didn't even mean to sound so cliche. That just came. But, like, it just so focused on infection control, which we needed to do, but we lost where that quality of life and where we all,
what were we keeping them alive for?
Well, and it was already, I mean, yes, COVID definitely made things more difficult, but what it really truly did was shine a light on the big gaping holes in training and skill demonstration.
Yes.
So all of those spaces and places that could get by before were being held up, and the light shone really brightly on them, and there wasn't really a comeback from that. And at the same time, there's a big push in the pharmacy side of things to counteract the agitation that people were starting to see with less skill, less interactions. It really hit a high note in the last couple of years.
I know, and I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I'm a big fan of better living through chemistry, and I can prove that if you were to do a blood test on me. So I do think there's a time and place, and I have seen behaviors by everybody where I think, yeah, I'd rather, and I'm not a fan of pain.
Right, sure, absolutely.
And that's one of my fears, to be in pain later on. And so,
but what about the emotional pain of being diminished and then being robbed of voice, when what I was really trying to tell you is I'm scared, I'm alone, and I need to get to somebody I know. And all we do is sedate me to where if I do try to get up, I'm high risk for falls, and then I fall.
And so it was one of the questions I was going to ask about when it comes to, I was going to ask you the magic wand at one point, but how do you do that balance? Because there have been, and then you see people are looking at pharmaceutical advances either to delay onset or to maintain where people are. I mean, how do you decide what is the time to bring in well, I mean, both, maybe pharmaceutical, but also the behavioral approaches of everyone, not of the person, of the people around them. And I think that's what people,
And I think, for me, the first answer is we need to look in the mirror before we start prescribing anything or we start trying to fix the person across the table. We need to be willing to look in the mirror at ourselves, the environment, the task, the props. We need to look at the timing. We need to be willing to look hard at what we're trying to do in our agenda and go, okay, is this legit or is this me wanting what I want when I want it because I want it now and I need you to do that? And yet, it's like, wait a minute. Is she smelling bad? No. Does she wash up at the sink? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does she really need a shower?
Yeah. It's
well, but she, but
it's my shift and this is the time and I have six people to take care of and you know, all those things.
You know, my mom has always taken showers. It's like, well, she did before.
Yes.
Doesn't look like she's doing it now, but is she getting clean? Well, yeah, but she won't take a shower. It's like,
okay.
I mean, that's a change.
Yeah, it's it is fascinating, and I know we're on the radio, so people, if you can envision a hand right up in front of your face, because this is one of the things. Clearly, I'm doing the gospel of Tipa and Amanda, but I know in your training, you'd put a hand up, and that hand would signify an agenda. Mm-hmm. I have my agenda, and I just throw it in your face.
Well, but I think I'm here to help you, and so I offer you help by shoving my hand in your face with my help. And so you didn't even see it coming. And for you, it's a huge surprise because you don't need help. What are you talking about? I'm fine. And so if I just push that agenda, we end up in conflict. If I go, so you didn't need, I am so sorry. I thought you were looking for some help. I apologize. Listen, I could use your help then, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Have you got just a second?
And I think people seeing that, I'm a big fan. You have become quite the TikTok star. And so I know I want to get into
you mean more Tic-tacs? Of the celebration. Is that what we're doing? We're doing it on TikToks? No, what is it called?
And I think when people see it, and there's a number of other people, and I am a big late night scroller on Instagram, and I have seen enough of them that it's in my algorithm. And what I like about it is there's a lot of good creativity out there of don't fight with your loved one. Here's four techniques to have them take something dangerous out of their hand and put something better. Four techniques to, and they'll just, and but you got to see it. Because it's like, I realize everybody needs to become their own sort of investigator. Mm-hmm. Each person.
Yeah, I think that's the more that we get through this year and are changing how we're doing things. We're radically transforming the experience of dementia, right? So one of my big goals is I picture this like I wish I would have known up in my office, and I feel like it's just an imaginary thing that's written up there because I hear it at every single event we go to. I hear it at every single organization we help at. And if I could just take a big red line through it and let people know that this is a common experience, although your situation is unique, for sure. Mm-hmm. But this is a common experience, and these techniques are applicable if you're willing to adapt and observe before you just rush right in and try something that you've always done. People are often quick to say, well, I've tried it with her, and it won't work with, or that'll never work with so-and-so. And yet, for people who are willing to step back, reassess and truly try the techniques that Tipa teaches, they make such an impact that they are literally life-saving, life-affirming for people. And yet, I wish I would have known is, I wish I would have known this sooner. I wish I would have known this for my friend. I wish I would have known is still the most common phrase that we have.
And one of the things we talked about when Nathan, I remember Nathan was mentioning it, and Dan was here too, but we were talking about how a lot of these lessons are not just about individuals with dementia, that you have a whole focus now in helping families that has that entire, what do we call it,
neurodivergent, neurotypical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and a lot of the stuff I think, frankly, is good for marriage therapy or parenting. It's just a kinder, more thoughtful way of going about and really understanding how the person is experiencing whatever
staying
you're
curious.
Saying. Yes.
So the tricky part in life is staying curious. Like, Yeah, so you want to go out with your friends at 2 a.m. Tell me more about that.
Oh my gosh, this was the conversation with my daughter the other night. What?
And she's going out. And I have not been to your house. I haven't been looking in the windows. Trust me.
Yes, that's normal behavior we're talking about. Yeah. Okay, so I'm throwing my agenda at the two of you right now because we have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get into what has become the, as you're radically transforming the experience
of
dementia, you also have radically transformed how you people, because you have positive approach, and then you have the Snow Approach Foundation, which was your in-person in Hillsboro. What are the things, and I definitely want you to talk about the, I think it's called your Memory Cafe, like people, listeners can come and embark and embrace on the journey with you all. So what's available for folks here in Orange County and in the listenership?
So we have two programs we operate now. We have Monday afternoon from 3 to 4:30, and then we have Friday morning from 9:30 to 12, where we open the doors and invite people to come on in and see what we're up to. And in the Brain Connection Cafe, our goal...
That's what it is, Brain Connection Cafe. I knew I was...
Not a memory cafe, because we don't want to emphasize that word. A lot of people have trouble.
I knew I was saying it wrong. Brain Connection Cafe.
Because we're all connecting.
Yes.
And so our goal is to use as many parts of the brain as we can during that time and acknowledge that. So we do a variety of things that are cognitive, that are social, that are fun, that are physical. And during that time, we do all that, but we talk about prefrontal cortex, sensory motor cortex, temporal lobes, occipital lobe, primitive brain.
Yeah, you go deep in your trainings. Like, let's really understand the brain and what's happening.
Yeah, and we do it with people living with dementia, with their family members, with friends, with the general public, with volunteer, with kids. Because what's interesting is how quickly, if I put my hand to my forehead, people living with dementia will go, prefrontal cortex. And it's like, that's your thinking brain.
Yes.
And it's like, new learning takes place.
Yes.
We know that in dementia. It's not all about loss. It's about change.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, some things are lost, but some new things are gained when you know the right way to get it in there.
So we also, in our new building, which is at 129 East King Street, if anybody wants to come stop by, we do our certification courses with Positive Approach to Care at the end of every month in person. And so that's a really good way and space for us to build local community volunteers into our certification courses, to share stories, to practice, to help others from all over the world who've come to Positive Approach to Care learn about how we're doing things differently here in Hillsboro.
I love it.
And
keep going, because I was gonna ask all the logistic-y stuff. Is there a cost, and do people have to sign up?
Well, that's the cool part. When we started Snow Approach Foundation 2 summers ago, we started in 2022, because we were frustrated with the level of service and offerings available to our local community at a community level. If you were willing to go behind a locked door, we had some good services. What we didn't have was something that was open and community-based. And there are
labels.
Without labels, without having to have dementia to come or having to be... So our goal was to really truly open a community program. And so everything that we offer in Hillsboro and to our local community is free. And it's almost all the good stuff that we offer through Positive Approach to Care, and it's free in community. We've also trained EMS, the fire department. We trained at a local Montessori school. We trained 60 children to do the positive physical approach and hand under hand.
Great.
So we're not stopping anytime soon. And just this week, you went and trained at Wake Med.
I did.
And so the website for that, so if people want to understand, that has a different website. I don't want to say it wrong, so I'll let you say it.
It is a different website, and you probably can find us on tipasnow.com. More likely to find us at snowapproach.org. snowapproach.org.
And I know we have just a few minutes, so I'll do the hustle for you. The .org means that you're a nonprofit.
That's right.
Means that you also...
501c3.
A 501c3. That means you can get donations. I know you get some donations. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that it comes more through grants, or are there individuals that are like, hey, or you'll take a check, you'll take anyone, like listeners who are like, hey, I would like to see more supports?
Yeah, absolutely. Almost all of our support comes from individuals, and we have a couple of organizations. Shout out to Carol Woods Foundation. Yay. Amazing group there. Yeah. Yeah, we're a lot of individuals in our community. Everybody comes for free, and then many of our volunteers come in and then donate on top of it, because they just so appreciate the space and the place to have a community that's accepting and open and also skilled.
I love it. I love it. All right. So in our 2 minutes left, I want to ask a hopeful question about, I asked this about a month ago when we had our researchers here that were doing neurology brain change research with the Alzheimer's disease research, and I came up with this question, and I like it, so I'm going to keep asking. What gives you hope for the future when you look to dementia support specifically?
The number of people living with dementia who recognize that what we do and what they're doing matters, and they find purpose. And when you find purpose, your life is worth living. And that's what we see time and time again. And then the care partners start to feel connected again to a community of care, mm-hmm. and not isolated and alone. And yeah. That's huge.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. And what gives you hope, Amanda?
I think these small wins, having people who opt in rather than staying home, rather than feeling frustrated and disappointed and devastated, they're reaching out and saying, hey, even just a conversation with you would be helpful. And so I think that's one of the hardest steps, is to reach out for help. But the fact that we are starting to see more and more and more people in our community, both professional and personal, reaching out for support and just a conversation is hugely hopeful for me.
Well, it is not a small win. It is a big win for our community that we have you both here, that we have the Snow Approach Foundation here in Orange County, that we have the staff of Positive Approach to Care, that we have both. But really, Amanda Bulgarelli, mm-hmm. Tipa Snow, this is a big win for me also to have you on the radio show. You are not easy women to schedule. So true. Really, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And to WCOM, thank you for letting me have your soundboard and your microphone. To the Orange County Department on Aging, thank you for sponsoring the Aging Well Together show. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And you stay healthy and you stay happy and find your own purpose and meaning. All right, take care.